God, in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, I just thank you on today, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you guide me, Lord Jesus, Lord. Let the words that are coming from my heart be from you, Lord Jesus. Put me to the side, Lord Jesus, and just, you know, let the words that are encouraging touch someone's heart, touch somebody's mind, touch somebody's soul deep within. All this I ask in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, Pastor did let you know I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? I want to say I'm starting to get a little comfortable up here. You know I used to be really nervous. I'm still a little nervous, but I praise God because I know why I'm up here. I'm saving it all. So I praise God. So this morning, I just want to share some scriptures. Now, I may not read all of them, but, you know, if you want to write them down or if you don't get them, just go back and listen to the podcast, you know, just for reference. I'll be coming out of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, page 1434. John 15, verses 12 and 13 on page 1314. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, page 15, 16. John 15, verses, Romans 15, verse 13, on page 1391. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, page 1447. John 14, verses 26 and 27, on 1314. Ephesians 4 and 2, page 1439. 2 Peter 3 and 9, on page 1511. Titus 3 and 4, page 1477. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7, page 1437. Matthew 25, verse 21. I'm going to be reading that out of Amplified Version. Philippians 4, verse 5, 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 to 25, that's page 1472, Proverbs 25 and 28 on page 762, and Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21 on 1433. Amen, amen. So I'm here this morning to share some encouraging words concerning the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm sure we all have read Galatians 5, 22 through 23. I remember some months ago, we shared this before, you know, always about the fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, now it's always good to get a refresher because sometimes you get a totally new revelation and learn to, or hear something you didn't hear before, like I did. So, how does the fruit of the Spirit affect you, or have you had an impact on your spiritual growth? Galatians 5, 22-23. The Holy Spirit produces a different kind of fruit: unconditional love, joy, peace, patience, kind-heartedness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You won't find any law opposed to this fruit. Now, the Greek word translated fruit refers to the natural product of a living thing. The Greek word is singular, showing that fruit is a unified whole, not independent characteristics. And as we grow all the characteristics of Christ, they will be manifested in our lives. Paul used fruit to help us understand the product of the Holy Spirit who lives inside every believer. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Holy Spirit, not the Christian. John 15, verses 1 through 7. Now, this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, I am, and my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. My Father examines every branch in me, and he cuts away those who do not bear fruit. He leaves those bearing fruit and carefully prunes them so that they will bear more fruit. Already you are clean because you have heard my voice. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. A branch cannot bear fruit if it is disconnected from the vine, and neither will you if you are not connected to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Without me, you will accomplish nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is like a branch that is tossed out and shrivels up and is gathered later to be tossed in the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my voice abides in you, anything you ask will come to pass. Amen. Amen. Now, it says the fruit of the Spirit must be grown by the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is the one who does the work in us and produces his fruit. So I know some of you may have heard a personal friend, maybe a family member say something like, I'm a good Christian. Look, I say it myself, especially when we're going through some things. So I thought to myself, I use myself as an example. I just say to myself, instead of trying extra hard to be good, we must instead focus on our relationship with God. We must spend quality time with him, fasting, in prayer, and meditation, and genuinely seek him through his word. Now, when I was thinking about this, I was like, wow. You know, in my house, you know, I have a backyard. You can use any place you want. You can go out in the backyard, in the park or whatever. But I was like, Lord, what if I was a tree? Oh, no. We go plant seeds. You go plant, if anybody ever planted a seed and watched it grow, you know you have to prune that whatever you build up. So I just thought to myself, Lord, I planted a tree. And on that tree, there were 9 branches. Now, you know, when I was doing my study and I came across something, it was said, while studying that, I came across the Catholic Encyclopedia, and they listed 12 fruits of the Spirit. They added the ones I read, plus they added modesty, generosity, and chastity. But I was like, I don't need my focus. I'm going to focus on what's in your word. You know, so I went back and I said, well, I have 9 branches out there. And I was like, Lord, there's unconditional love, there's joy, there's peace, there's kindheartedness, there's patience, there's self-control. But I you have to have them all. You just can't have your joy branch can't be broken off. You know, you can't live life without joy. And so I went through and I defined some of these I define love, unconditional love, affection without any limitation, love without anything in condition, you know. And then I just, you know, sort of went over 1 Corinthians 13. It said love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. It said, my loved ones, let us devote ourselves to loving one another. Love comes straight from God. And everyone who loves is born, love one another, is born of God and truly knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is truly love. I can tell you, if you ever been through something, especially with loved ones, someone who said they love you, love is just not a word. Love is action. You know, love, you can't just go out there and say, "Oh, I love you," but not show you that I love you. I mean, I'm not saying I can give you money or anything like that. I have to respect you. You know, I have to respect you, like everybody has to respect each other. Joy. Joy. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, gladness and delight. You know, my mom used to always say, "Baby, don't let nobody steal your joy."
Come on.
And I can tell you, I have let people steal my joy. And it's not a good feeling, because, you know, I think about, you know, it was based on my circumstances. Joy, it should be based on your circumstances. Well, it shouldn't be, because, you know, you can let the worst thing just bring you down, you know, but you have to have joy. Joy comes from the heart. Joy, Romans 15:13 says, "I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace, and in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit." That joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from anybody else.
Come on now.
Amen. Peace. Freedom from the Spirit.
Come on, come on.
You ever wake up in the morning and you turn on the TV and the top story is another tragic incident? Oh, my heart just aches when I see these shootings and people just going unnecessary violence. You know, that steals your peace. That all steals your joy. But John 14:26-27, it says, "The Father is sending a great helper, the Holy Spirit, in my name to teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. My peace is the legacy I leave to you. I don't give gifts like those of this world. Do not let your heart be troubled or fear." So when you're thinking of things that make you peace, sometimes you got to turn off that TV. Sometimes, I mean, when I think of peace, I think about that movie, The War Room. That was an awesome movie. And when it came out, I tried to emulate a war room in my home. Now, my bathroom is my war room, you know. And some people, if you've been in my bathroom, you'll see I have prayers all on my wall. That's where I get my peace. So if you have a place like that you can go to it and get your peace, you know. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Patience. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without anger or upset. We all heard the proverb, patience is a virtue. I think I'm the most patient person there is, but I think the older I get, the less things I don't like to tolerate. Just driving, for example. I think I'm a great driver. I have drove cross country from California to Virginia in a U-Haul van. I was nervous, oh yes, but I was patient. I dealt with people on the road just like I deal with people on the road right now. People that gave me the finger.
Come on.
People that called me. Yelled out that window. You know, but you know what? I was like, the first thing I did, I said, "Jesus." I called on his name, because the Philly part of me really coming out, y'all. I tell you. And I be wanting to come back with a comeback. But I was like, "Lord, you know what?" And then sometimes when I'm out there driving, if somebody's driving slow, I know I can always go around. But when I do go around, I'll look in the car, right? And it might be an elderly person, right? And I said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." But I also said, "Oh, Lord, bless me. I say great grandma or great grandma because I'm a grandmother, and I was like, they was older than me. So I call them great grandma. So I just say, Lord, just forgive me. But we have to have patience, yeah. No matter what you're going through. No matter, the Lord may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. You know, always right on time. So whatever you're going through, just remember, be patient.
Amen.
Kindness. I put kindness and goodness together. Kind-heartedness being. Having or showing a sympathetic nature. The quality of being morally good and virtuous. These two are deeply related. Together, they represent one who not only has moral goodness and integrity, but also expresses it the way that they want to act towards others. So, my scripture, Ephesians 2:4-7. Uh-huh. It says, "But God, with the unfathomable riches of His love and mercy, focused on us, united us with the Anointed One, and infused our life and soul with life, even though we were buried under mountains of sin, and saved us by His grace." He raised us up with Him and seated us in the heavenly realm with our beloved Jesus, the anointed and liberated King. He did this for a reason, so that for all eternity we will stand as a living testimony to the incredible riches of His grace and His kindness that He freely gives to us by uniting us with Jesus the Anointed. Amen. All right. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The quality of being faithful. Fidelity. To be faithful is to be reliable or trustworthy. Christian faithfulness is continued and consistent. Submission and obedience. Faithfulness can only be described someone willing to suffer. Persecution, right. And even death for Christ's sake. Amen. Matthew 25:21 is in the Amplified version. It says, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your peace." Now, that faithfulness is being faithful to God, whatever He gives us. And if you go back in Matthew, you read the story of the talents where He gave the guy one, He gave five, and he went out and multiplied them. He gave the other one 10, He multiplied them. But the one who didn't had the one, He buried it. You know. But go back and read that story. But I wanted to also bring out in 2 Timothy, and I'm just going to, not 2 Timothy, well, not that one, somewhat. Also, and gentleness is the quality of being kind, tender, or mild mannered. Gentleness is grace of the soul. It is not, some people think grace is weakness, but it's not weakness. But instead, it's strength under control. Something awesome. Have you ever Have any of you ever experienced like a verbal confrontation with anybody? Oh, my goodness. Ooh, I tell you, having a difficult, you know, having, you know, and when I said I was going to paraphrase, I was talking about in 2 Timothy, when Paul was talking to Timothy about just people getting in his head and people telling him certain things. Now, Timothy could have went off really for whatever. He told Timothy to run. Don't get focused on what's going on, what people are trying to do to you. Because Timothy had a gentle soul. And he, you know, he just wanted him to move on. And that's what we have to do. Because people, let me tell you, people will try. So just remember that. Self-control. The ability to control oneself in particular, one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior. Especially in difficult situations, often we lack self-control, and it can lead us into trouble. Proverbs 25:28, it says, it says, like a conquered city with no wall, so is a man with who has no self-control.
Wow.
So, wow. If you didn't have any self-control, and we do, we as human beings lack self-control. We lack self-control. And if you go back and read Galatians 19, Galatians 5:19. I want to read that.
Amen.
Galatians 5:19 reads, it is clear that our flesh entices us into practicing some of the most heinous acts, participating in corrupt sexual relationships, impurity, unbridled love, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, arguing, jealousy, anger, selfishness, contentiousness, division, envy of others' good fortune, drunkenness, drunken revelry, and other shameful vices that plague humankind. I told you this clearly before, and I only tell you again so that there is no room for confusion. Those who give into these ways will not inherit the kingdom of God. I said, if you don't do anything, if you don't have any self-control, is vital. Yes, it is. It says self-control. Yes, self-control is vital. So, in closing, following in the path of the Spirit is not a choice. Instead, it opens us up for experiencing the life God has for us. We are free to live in the Spirit and to truly write what and to be truly right with God. As free people, the Spirit gives us the characteristics of Jesus. We too can freely love, enjoy, and peace. We can have patience and love, kindness, and faithfulness that come only from the Father. we can reflect the goodness of God while being gentle and operating with self-control. For those who follow Him and live in Spirit, these characteristics of fruit or fruits are a gift from God. As we grow in faith, we find that we belong to God and we can walk daily in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Father God, I just thank you for the word today, Lord Jesus. Father God, you are the giver of all good things. I ask that you give us the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to be full of joy, peace, and patience. Help us to be faithful and gentle and deal with others. Give us the self-control to bear the fruit of others. All this I ask in your presence.